Gets you in the groove, doesn't it? That's John Coltrane on tenor sax, followed or surrounded, I should say, by Lee Morgan on trumpet, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Kenny Drew on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on drums with Blue Train. This is Lead Stories. Oh, by the way, this is a title track from Coltrane's 1957 album. It was good then, it remains good today. This is Lead Stories, I'm Latrice Lead. And where are we going? It's going to be a little bumpy today, I expect, as we enter the murky world of race, racial classification, and racial politics in the United States, directly referencing both former President Barack Obama and now Kamala Harris, who presidential candidate Joe Biden has named as his vice presidential running mate. As it was with Obama, Harris's racial identity has already become a media obsession, not about who and what she is, but about who and what she is not. She is not white. So we start today with that premise, looking at how racial identity shapes our day-to-day consciousness, and we see it more pointedly when there are elections or major issues, we inevitably turn to the racial angle. So we are going to look at how Harris's nomination revives the centrality of race in America and how it continues to shape our lives. I'd hinted it before, and in the way they danced toward it, the major media danced toward the subject of race. They didn't come at it directly, but they did a thing, a little dance. They shimmied up to the line. And we know that inevitably it would be a major discussion. You might have been informed by now that Kamala Harris is the offspring, the daughter of a Jamaican man, Donald Harris, who is Professor Emeritus of Economics at the University of Stanford University, I should say, and Shyamala Gopalan, her mother, who died in 2009 from breast cancer, but was considered a major and a prominent person in breast cancer research, and who made many strides in that field. Her mother was Tamil, and it's actually renamed Chennai. It's a region in India. She was born and raised there, and then emigrated from there to the United States, as did Kamala Harris's father. They met, in fact, at the university in the United States, and they got married and had Kamala and a sister as well. It troubled me, and I raised it before very tactfully. It troubled me that people were talking about her mother quite a bit. And no shame there. That's great. Fantastic. But they didn't talk very much about her father. And that is the roundabout way of saying that the media had exoticized Kamala Harris because her mother was Indian. Her father was just a black guy, yeah, no big deal. But it is a big deal, you see, because in the beginning of the coverage, he was not really prominent at all. He wasn't given much shrift. It was about Kamala and her mother, Kamala being a very exotic person. But then came the problem. The problem started creeping in. And I was watching to see how it would be handled. What is the problem I'm talking about? The problem I'm talking about is, how is it that at the same time you could acknowledge she has a black father, a Jamaican father, you kind of mention it in passing, but the real exotic part of the story is the story that you're after, that she is also the product of an Indian mother. Lots of stories started following that line in how jubilant the Indian community was when Joe Biden selected her as his running mate. And it's a lot of talk about, even in casual ways, so do you know how to make Indian food? These patronizing ways that people treat other people. Now, where I come from in Trinidad, this is no big deal. It's in my family, for crying out loud. If I were to line up my family, you go, what the heck happened here? We're all different kinds of people. And we are a family. I have two sisters-in-law who are Indian. So this is not my godfather's Chinese. You know, my father's father was German. His mother was a Carib woman. This is not a big deal. This is all over the Caribbean. And we don't make a big deal about it. We just simply go on our way and live our lives. Everybody is mixed up anyway, because people were brought to our country, what became our country, and enslaved and made to work together and live together. And so we adjusted to each other very well. Lots of intermarriage, lots of cultural understanding. The only rift that I could recall growing up was between the rest of the population and white people who became settlers and the sons and daughters of settlers. They were the problem. They held to very racist values, and the rest of us got along just fine. It was not a problem at all. People jump across so-called racial lines all the time. There is no problem there. And I wanted to know when they were going to start showing their hand with Kamala Harris, and they didn't wait too long before they did that. So now the question is she Black? Is she a Black woman according to US definitions of race? Or has she been improved racially by having an Indian mother, a Tamil mother? Is she really Black? This was the same question with Barack Obama, whose mother was white, whose father was African. Was he Black? And then, for the flip side of the coin, was he Black enough? Did this touch of whiteness in his blood change the racial equation? Did he morph into something else, something new? Could he be trusted as a really Black man? We're having the same discussion. They're creeping into it. I'm watching it with great delight because they're very uncomfortable. The media are very uncomfortable with this question, and not just the media. Exactly how do we categorize Kamala Harris? No matter what she says, no matter what she says she is, this society has always had the prerogative to name you, to identify you, to categorize you, every one of us, especially if the society believes not that you're not Black enough, but you're not white enough. And with that categorization goes a lot of stuff. Is she really suitable? Is she really smart enough to handle this position? Was her mother, in fact, more intelligent than her father? Was the Indian mother, let me put it more specifically, was the Indian mother more intelligent than her Jamaican father? And that would give us a little bit more information as to how to racially categorize Kamala Harris. They're still uncomfortable. They haven't come out boldly yet with the question. They're nipping around the edges. What is this person? How do we in the United States, with our specific racial coding, which in large measure determines a lot of things, how far up the ladder you go or how far down the ladder you go, where you can live, what kind of job you would have, what kind of life you would have. This is, I just want to refer you to the lecture that we were fortunate to have by Gerald Horn back in the 16th century. He placed the evolution of this kind of thinking because people were snatched and brought to all different parts of the world and artificially were compelled to do whatever it is they had to do to survive and get along with others, because there was no doubt they shared the same land mass and they were there for a specific purpose. So they were very closely watched, very closely monitored, that they don't get outside of themselves. So I'm going to ask you, how do you think, what is the, not how you personally do it, but you're free to share that, but how do you think Kamala Harris is being categorized? And what are the implications of that for her in this society? Well, we can tell that she has survived. She's 55 years old. And she has a string of accomplishments, as did both her parents. But there is this thing, the unknown and unmentioned thing, but it soon will be mentioned, because people cannot, many people in this country cannot deal with it. They have to be given your specifications, if not directly, but certainly from observation, that they can form, what is this obsession? Where did it come from? We got the answer. We got the answer last week. I mean, earlier in the week, as well as last week, in Horn's lecture from his book titled appropriately, The Dawning of the Apocalypse, The Roots of Slavery, White Supremacy, Settler Colonialism, and Capitalism in the Long 16th Century. He laid out very well why we have certain attitudes today, why certain societies are structured the way they are today, including our own. So let's open it up and talk about the evolution of this question. Now, they have to be very careful, the media, because they can't come right out and say, well, you know, she's a mutt. And she has been lifted up and brought to a higher level by the vice president of the United States, by the president, the presidential candidate. She's been lifted up by him. She's been promoted. And her entire history, professional history, is one of being lifted up. She's not a typical black woman. She's not too black. She's not embarrassingly black. Just like Obama, not too black, just enough of a tinge to let us know that they are exceptional. You get where I'm going? 888-874-4888. Ed from Jamaica, what is your understanding? What have you come to in terms of this question that we're raising about Kamala Harris's race, if you will, and whether she deserves, because this is the implication, whether she deserves where she's being lifted up to.
Pertaining to Ms. Harris, I'm a person who deals in factual things and likes to have a scientific basis for things. Race is a construct, first of all. It's a social construct that was created in this country, primarily our experience with it as far as being African Americans, created in this country to create a social caste to empower a small segment of the population. That being said, my thing is your lineage. Where are you from? How does where you're from, how does your heritage, how does your culture relate to my needs as a political individual, as a voter, and what your stance is? Kamala Harris is not ABOS. She is not an American descendant of slaves. She doesn't have lineage rooted in this country's foundation as far as slavery, Jim Crow, as far as segregation. She has benefited from it, or the benefits of it as far as being an American citizen, having parents that had her born here, and she benefited from that in educational wise and reaped the benefit of that. But she is not, in my opinion, a true recipient of it. So that being said, I mean, I don't get into race. Race is a construct. It's a fallacy. It's not Crayola. It's your lineage. And as far as
well,
the voter...
you may say that, but just the same, there are laws that enforced it and still do. There are social customs that enforce it. So it is not just a construct.
Well,
it is, in many cases, a law. How many decades has this country been subjected to this thing you call a false construct, but had real consequences, including lynchings, including people chased out of their homes? This was not just a construct.
I'm saying that there are a lot of falsehoods that are brought into by societies that become truths based on the people's perception or belief in them. I mean, you know, the Nazi Germany told lies that the Germans bought into because it was convenient for them to buy into. The race is a construct that people benefit from. It's an idea. It's a concept that people benefit from financially, socially, politically. And I'm trying to get myself beyond that, and I try to influence other people in my sphere to get beyond that. What I'm saying about her is to tie anything to her color, to me, is laughable. I mean, I'm voting for you.
But it is so natural in the United States. That's the history of the United States. You can't expect that history will suddenly be made to disappear. It was the same history for Barack Obama. The same application.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you, but I refuse to buy into it personally. And that's all I can give you is my personal opinion and based on my personal observation of the situation. Personally, I'm not concerned with her race. I'm concerned with her policies. I'm concerned with her behaviors as the DA, how she didn't prosecute certain bankers like Steven Mnuchin during the housing bubble. I'm concerned with her prosecution of African American people. I'm concerned with her sharing in Joe Biden's crime bill philosophies. That's my concern. I don't care, you know.
I agree with you. But in this instance, and I see what you're saying, I agree entirely with you of somehow, and this is what Gerald Horn was explaining, people put together systems that produce predictable results. Race is such a construct.
Yes.
There's no logical explanation for race, but it is in the United States a viable and valid and historical construct. So we can't ignore it at that level. We can certainly differ with it. We have a different viewpoint about it, But this is what this country is about. So we have to see it in that context as well. You got us started today. I thank you very much. Patricia from New York, how are you?
Hey, Teresa, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope you are well also.
I'm hanging in.
Oh, good, 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 good. So I'm going to see if I can continue from Ed, with whom I absolutely agree. So I think what Professor Horn was saying is that race is a social construct that was designed to justify the transatlantic slave trade. And all the stereotypes that were created were transmitted through generations. So we are now where we are. You know, it's really interesting because you just informed me that Kamala Harris's father is still alive. I thought he was dead. And I thought he was dead because you never hear anybody talk about her father, including Kamala Harris. It's always her mother. So when you just said that he is an economics professor, I said, he's still alive? Which means that for whatever reason, her Africanness, the African part of her, is being almost as if it's being denied. You know, I think they think they got they talk about you get a twofer, a woman and a black woman. Well, they think that they really hit pay dirt because they got a woman, they got a black woman, they got a Caribbean woman, and they got an Indian woman. And, you know, the irony is that many of these different races, when they come to the U.S., they want to be honorary whites to the point where they deny their own self-identity. So to see her now being used in this manner, being promoted in this manner, you know, that exotic nature of her, again, you know, people keep talking about her being black, but that's not the part that's being elevated. It's not the black part being elevated. It's the Indian part that's being elevated, at least in my humble opinion.
See, as I said, she has been exoticized.
Yes, she has.
That's, you know, she's a mystery. She's a mystery in terms of the way the United States traditionally regards race. You have to be, you know, it's explicit. But she is nuanced. You look at her and you say, well, I know something is going on there, but I don't know exactly what. But I agree with you that she will be of immense value to the Democratic Party as the running mate for Joe Biden. But what do you think is the message being transmitted about her?
I honestly don't know what the message is. I think they want us to believe that this is absolute progress. You know, they keep talking about black women being the backbone of the Democratic Party. And the one thing I want to say to them is, well, yeah, they're the backbone of the party because all of our black men were either put in jail or they're dead thanks to the Democratic Party. So this is supposed to promote, this is supposed to be seen as progress. You know, we're creating this just society by making this move. Well, I don't know about a just society, not unless you can go back and fix and rehabilitate all the families that were destroyed. The black men who are in prison, who can't get a job, who can't get housing, who can't go back to school, who can't vote, who can't do anything. That's progress?
I go back to the fact that her father has been already inked out of the equation.
But that's my point. I thought the man was dead.
He doesn't exist. He doesn't exist at all.
Exactly.
Although, you know, this man made great strides in the field of economics. And yes, the parents did divorce. But in 1971, they divorced. But he is out of the equation.
But she also is putting him out because she never talks about him, and not unless he was a deadbeat dad.
Well, even if he were a deadbeat dad, for the purpose of history that we're talking about who you are, right? And we're not talking about the circumstances of family life and who cheated on who or whatever. We're not talking about that. We're talking about where you come from, what made you you.
Yes.
And it's inescapable. Her father had a major role in that. Her mother had a major role in that. Nobody should be seeking to deny that. But it, if you notice, as I said, very little mention, if any, of him.
It's as if he doesn't exist and never existed.
Well, thank you for calling in. Bill from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrisa, and to all the audience listening. First of all, good afternoon to you. Thank you. First of all, kudos to Gerald Horn the other day. And so I always learn something from him. I don't always agree with him, but I always come away more informed. Absolutely. So great work on that part. Regarding the future Vice President, Ms. Kamala Harris, God willing. Yes, it's the same thing we've seen before, time and time again. We can go back to, just recently, the Duchess of Windsor, Tiger Woods, the Japanese tennis player who's half Japanese, half African-American, and so forth. And, of course, the crown jewel is Barack Hussein Obama, where it's always these individuals who are, absolutely African-American, but the press and the media and even society always wants to go to that other side, that they're the other. They're not completely, authentically African-American in terms of the transatlantic slave part of all of that. And all of the discrimination and blood and tears that have been endured. So we're seeing it all over again with her, and I do wish her well. I think she's a good choice. My main interest right now, above all others, is the removal of Donald John Trump come November 3rd. And so she will not be perfect by any means, and we'll have to hold her.
We're not really discussing her political qualifications or any reason why she should not be involved in the politics. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the treatment that she has been accorded so far by the media and the media as a stand-in for societal attitudes.
Sure.
What do you make of that?
I think it's, I've been hearing different perspectives from different media sources. And ironically, the first that I heard of or saw on the so-called media of her acceptance was on I think it was BBC. I was watching around 3 o'clock yesterday on one of the public TV stations. And I checked the other stations, the U.S. stations, ABC, CBS. None of it was being covered at all. And so you had a foreign broadcast company broadcasting her acceptance live, and it was not at all covered live on U.S. major media. So the media is having, they're coming from different perspectives. Some are sort of a coronation, and then the others are bringing up, some of the, some of her, of her background, her history, and so forth. So it's a mixed bag.
Yes, but is it also indicating an interest or a fear, whichever you choose, that this would become way too acceptable? The integration of non-white people in positions of leadership in this country. For so long has been deemed completely unacceptable. Is it
absolutely.
Fear?
Yes, absolutely. This is truly historical, and especially if Mr. Biden and Ms. Harris win the election, this is a tipping point that is indelible and irrevocable in terms of the future of politics in the United States of America. And so you will literally have a person who is a heartbeat away from the most powerful office in the world, and who is not the standard white American, you know, poster male, and who is a combination of so many different experiences and ethnicities, which is almost a universal candidate in a sense, which is actually kind of remarkable and in some regards pleasing. My concern is that African Americans who are dyed-in-the-wool, cotton-picking, you know, have that slave history of cotton fields and lynching and all of that, are being erased out of this and other progress that's being made. And we saw that with Barack Obama in terms of his, you know, lineage or his background with his Kenyan dad and a European mother, a white mother here. And going back to something that I didn't agree that Jesse Jackson said regarding Barack Obama, but I understand it, is that, you know, Barack was not truly African American heritage, which indeed does did impact on his policies as he carried them out.
Well, you know that Jesse Jackson said that because he was envious.
Of course.
You know that that's not a legitimate point. He said it because he wanted it to be him as a person who could be president. And he blew it twice.
So he was
talking out of great animus at that point.
Absolutely. And hopefully he'll stay out of the picture.
Well, he's getting older now. I don't think he has the energy to pursue that office.
Thanks so much
for your call.
Thank you. Bye.
Glenn from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Latrice.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I completely agree with the previous callers. However, what it says to me about denomination of Kamala Harris is that it tells me as a Black American.
Okay, we're not talking about the nomination of Kamala Harris. Let's stay on point. We're talking about what the coding, how the coding has been disrupted since she has been named Joe Biden's running mate. The coding
being that
she has broken through the ranks, and she herself seems to be, I wouldn't say that she's being apologetic. That would be incorrect to say. But she certainly is not talking about her father, who is an Afro-Jamaican, or her mother. She's talking a lot more about her mother, she died in 2000 and something. I made a note of it. 2009. But there is something happening here to the overarching socialization of America. We are not used to accepting leadership. We are not used to a person of color being in leadership positions. So now that it's happening, we're getting a very interesting fractured reaction. Some people are acting like, oh, is this great? We have another one. This is a sign of progress after Barack Obama. Others have exoticized her and said, well, clearly, the reason she got such a good break is that she inherited these traits from especially her mother. They're not talking about her father. So I was wondering what you thought about that.
Well, yes, it totally disrupts the code. However, what it says to me as a Black American, that a Black American isn't good enough. A person who's presented as being Black doesn't have, as a previous caller said, does not have that Black experience. And she's, I hate to use Trump's word, but it's a phony. Because all of the things that were important or became an issue in the past couple of months with the rioting and the protests, that her candidacy does not address it. And I know we're not talking about the nomination, but what they are presenting to us does not address what our issue is.
Yeah, but it's too early to talk about that. There's time still to have it examined and for her to be quizzed directly about that. I'm just talking about from taking the big picture in, we have a dramatic change in our hands, right? We have the emergence of another candidate pursuant to Barack Obama, who became president, somebody now being touted by Obama's vice presidential candidate, suggesting an African American woman as, and that's a dilemma. Is she an African American? How do you see her? How is she to be categorized in this country that thrives on categorizing people? What is she?
I think she checks a lot of boxes.
Yes.
And that's what it's helped. It's building the coalition. She's so many things that all the boxes or more of the boxes are checked. Like Obama had a coalition to elect him. This person checks those boxes or begins to put together the coalition.
Yes, you can check a lot of boxes and still be completely irrelevant because you have too many boxes. You have too many divided loyalties.
Well,
in this country, that's not a good thing.
Well, in this case, it's a help to build the coalition. I mean, Obama wouldn't have gotten elected without a coalition.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, because he did have a groundswell of people who had evolved and wanted to move forward in the United States, especially on social issues and social progress. So we don't know what could have happened. But I thank you so much for contributing today. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Trees. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. Thank you for calling in.
Hi. As usual, you have a great, great show today.
Thank you.
You mentioned Kamala not mentioning her dad, or the media not mentioning her dad. And
right.
I just wanted to talk about that real quick. I remember, when was it? I think she had an interview at one point where she was joking about smoking marijuana. And
yes.
That was right before she had a debate, and there was a candidate that I think her name, Tulsi Gabbard, had called her out on that, basically saying that she was joking about smoking marijuana while she, as a prosecutor, put a lot of people away for smoking marijuana. And I remember at that time, her dad put out a statement criticizing her on that statement, because basically she was kind of referencing Jamaicans as all marijuana smokers, because it was some sort of joke or something she made about that, about her dad being Jamaican. And her dad came out strongly against that statement. And I remember her dad doing that. So I don't know if her dad kind of like fits in the mold of the Democratic agenda at this point. Maybe he might be conservative. Who knows?
Well, many people in the Caribbean are. Many people everywhere are conservative.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make them automatically illogical.
No, but I don't think he probably fits into the mold of what they might want to push or something. I don't know. But and also it could be the whole ADOS issue. They don't want to they acknowledge the fact that she is not American descendant of slaves. I'm pretty sure they realize that, and they're just dancing around that. But you know, just all of a sudden now she's an Asian American. I found that kind of funny, you know, because that part you didn't hear that in the beginning.
They're having a very interesting time trying. This is a struggle. I'm having great fun observing it.
Yeah,
how they're trying to, they have to put her in some kind of a hole somewhere.
A box. That shows how racist our country is. And before this show, I kind of wasn't having any kind of feelings for Kamala Harris. But after listening to this show, I kind of feel bad for her because, to be honest with you, not being black enough is kind of messed up because, for instance, if you're driving along and you're racially profiled, do you think they're racially profiling you on your background? No, they're just looking at you. They determine you look black, and that's what they go by. They're not going by, well, you might be a Caribbean black or some other type of black person. They just automatically, boom, label you black, and they could care less about what's your background. I mean, I remember during the Obama administration, we had professors. Remember there was a professor out of Cambridge, I think it was, that was assaulted by the police? I don't know if you remember that time that he was arrested and assaulted by the police. And this guy, he's a professor, you know, and he was harassed by the police. And so I kind of feel bad for Kamala because on whether she's black enough and same thing on the Asian side, whether she's Indian enough, you know, in India, there's a lot of racism in India, you know. I kind of feel bad for her because she's kind of in a spot where she doesn't belong anywhere but the United States, I guess. You know, so
well,
I kind
of
feel bad
for
her.
Where she belongs, wherever she chooses to belong. And I understand how you put it because we understand how race matters in this country.
Yeah,
it determines a lot of things that have nothing to do with the color of your skin or the color of your eyes or the texture of your hair. It has nothing to do with that. But our society, and that's the point I was trying to make today, is going through some changes about her, because even though she's just trying to be herself, they are going to force her into a box so that, you know, people instantly can get a read on her. That the other questions that you would normally ask, they're not important. It's based with her. Look at her and go from there. Her previous life is of no consequence. Just look at her now and base your feelings and your attitudes on what she looks like and how close to white she looks like, even though she has an Indian mother and a Jamaican father.
Mm-hmm.
See? So we're not out of the box with that. We're still basing a lot of what we think about her on the color of her skin. And the media are reacting to her on that basis too. She looks sufficiently white. A little tan, a little mocha, but she's not a black person. And therefore, we will see, and it's going to happen sooner than we think, we will see the attitudes devolving especially in terms of media coverage around this very issue. Thank you so much for calling, Tony. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, I've been thinking about this, and what's coming into my mind is this. First of all, how does she identify herself? Does she identify herself as a black woman for whatever that's supposed to mean to her publicly? I think about what she put down on the census form. Did she check off black, or what did she check off? And in the long run, they chose her for this position, but, you know, she's still, as I see it, in the pocket along with Biden in the ruling class department. So, you know, she may be going for this high position and possibly during the term becoming president herself. But, you know, it's the ruling class that runs the country. And the, as I see it, the president works for the ruling class to keep the status quo. And I don't see any indication that she would get away from being in that category of people in a presidential leadership role to try to break away from what the ruling class wants to maintain the status quo in this country.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in today, David. Thank you. John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey, Treece.
Hi.
You're sounding good.
I'm sorry?
My thinking is that she was chosen because she's the trifecta. She would get three additional category people to vote for her, being the trifecta as far as her race is concerned. Other than that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, she could be the president and Biden could be the vice president, because I've totally lost faith in the people who run for office in this country. There's really no possibility that the right person, being the person who would do right by everyone in this country, is never going to happen. It's just never going to happen. There's just too much control from above, and nobody ever wants to give up power. And that's basically my thinking about her. And hopefully
let's get back to the central issue here. How is she being regarded, or how is she to be regarded?
How is she being regarded? I regard her as a pawn. She's a pawn. She will do whatever she has to do to win the respect and keep her job. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but we're talking about the factor, which is inescapable in the United States, the factor of race.
What about it? She's going to get more Indian people to vote for her, more black people to vote for her, less white people to vote for her. I don't know. People vote for the strangest reasons. I know that she flip-flopped on a couple of important legislations when she was in charge of the police department or the district attorney of California, as far as making marijuana legal and things like that. All of a sudden, she flip-flops on those kind of things because she's now going to be a Democrat running for the vice president with Joe Biden, which is a complete joke in my mind. It's just more of the same garbage that the people have been fed in this country, and we're losing everything here. We're losing everything. They're selling everything. They're giving us away. That's what they're doing. I mean, the country is in such a disaster zone. It's beyond belief. This her virus and stuff, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if all of it is like a plan, it's all done. Why should we be surprised about that? I know that the entire Japanese Navy didn't sneak up on us in the middle of the
Pacific Ocean. You're straying off the subject. Stay on point.
Stay on point?
Yes.
Tell me what the point was again. What is the point?
You proved my point. We're talking about the racial aspect, which inevitably will be very, very heavy.
I just addressed that. I said she was a trifecta. In other words, three different races will be added to the ranks of people voting for Joe Biden and herself to run this country. I answered that question already. You got another one?
But that you didn't quite answer the question. Because I wanted you to reference how important it is in the United States to have a racial consciousness and one born out of white supremacy. She doesn't fit that bill.
Well, then I don't know what the answer to that question is.
Okay, well, think about it. Because we're not leaving it right away. We just started it today. But thank
all
you.
Right. Well,
your
you
points
have a good
are well
afternoon.
Taken. Thank you so much for contributing today. Well, that brings us to the end of our program. And I want you to really look critically at coverage of the soon to be vice president, at least that's what Joe Biden says, they'll be elected. But I want you to look at this because this is a very interesting development, a very interesting development. And we need to really get at it. What is at the crux of it? Is it because the time has come to let go of old feelings and prejudices and move forward? Is it one of those things? Or is it that the thinking on the Biden, on the part of Biden, is that this gives a practical answer? And this is where John just took us a practical answer of, you know, shoring up his chances of winning. And that's another way in which race is being used here. But we started off talking about the candidate herself and how she has used race, or how she has allowed race and the racial characteristics and scapegoating and so forth to be used, and in turn to have her used to advance certain themes or certain ideas about people, their race, and their capabilities and their entitlements in a society founded on the principle, the false construct of race. Thanks so much for listening today. Tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday. So we'll meet up again tomorrow. Bye-bye.